This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want you this evening to take your Bibles and I want you to go to the book of Psalm 107. And tonight I hope to encourage some saint of God with something I don't know that I've ever thought about until this afternoon. The theme and thought of my heart tonight, and I'll give it to you in just a second. Let me give you, if I can, just a few little thoughts. Well, no, I'll give them to you at the end of the service. Remind me at the end of the service. Remind me at the end of the service. I'll do it. A little thought that I've been thinking about, pondering, processing, and it finally, kindly all came together on my prayer walk this afternoon. On God-given depression. God-given depression. It has never processed in my soul. It has never occurred to me until I was reading the other week and then again this afternoon in the book of Psalms 107 and verse number 39. Watch what the Bible says. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. I want you to look back, if you will, at verse number 38 of the same chapter. Verse number 38 of the same chapter, the 107th Psalm. Let's read that. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Now, beloved, in verse number 38, God's blessing. Who is the one that blesses people? Say it with me. God. Who is the one that multiplies greatly? God. Who is the one that will not suffer the cattle to be destroyed? In verse number 39 now, do you see a change in pronouns? Is there another pronoun? There's not any more pronouns mentioned. There's not another noun mentioned. There's not somebody else that takes over in verse number 39. Therefore, the same one that is blessing in verse 38 is the same one doing the action in verse 39. When you come to the 107th Psalm, you're coming to the Psalm of the Redeemed. It is a psalm which has a theme, thanksgiving. It has a theme which is over and over, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. And David says that over and over, but yet here's what's interesting. We think that the blessed people, we think that people that are righteous and that live for God and that do right and have all of these blessings, how many of you would say, God's been good to me? God's blessed me. That's all of us. God has just, He just pours it out over and over. But yet there's this mentality inside of us that to the people that are blessed by God, they'll never have problems. And the people that do have problems evidently are being oppressed by the devil. Evidently, they've done something wrong. And like Job, they're given over to Satan so that Satan can do something to them. But that's not what this verse says. If you look in verse number 39, do you see the word, and they are minished and brought low. Circle that phrase, brought low. Because there's a Hebrew word. It is the Hebrew word from which we get the word saha. And the word saha, it literally means to be brought down on the inside. It is the same phrase. Do you remember back in the book of Psalm chapter number 79, I believe? And then there's another in the book of Psalm chapter 42. When David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's the same word, brought low and cast down. You see, what David is saying here in the 107th Psalm is that the same God that blesses and the same God that gives and the same God that does and the same God that delivers His people, that same God, in the same life, in the same person, will allow their spirit to be brought low. He'll allow their spirit to become depressed. Now, beloved, I've never seen this in this verse until the other week. But David shows us the three causes and sources of depression. In verse number 39, he says, they're brought low through oppression. And I'm going to show you what that is. But read it in the verse with me. Through oppression, through affliction, and through sorrow. You see, those are the three sources of every ounce of depression in this world. Now watch this. What are they? Number one, the first way you can become overcome with depression is through oppression. Oppression is a satanic attack. The devil will come against the people of God. Those are those moments when you feel the whispers in your ear. Those are those moments when you feel the anxiety in your soul. Those are those moments when you feel like I have no hope. Those are those moments when you don't know where it comes from and you don't know how to get rid of it. That is what God will do, just like he did with Job. He will allow Satan to come into your life and to discourage you and depress you. Now watch this. Who is the one that allows that in your life? What does it say in verse 38? Who's the one that blesses? It's God. And it's the same one that blesses that will allow Satan to bring that upon you. Beloved, here's what I want to show you. And I've never processed this. I've never thought about this. I've always felt like that depression and discouragement in a life was because the devil was trying to overwhelm us. But that's not the case. You see, the devil can do nothing that God does not allow him to do. In the life of the child of God, nothing comes my way and nothing comes your way that does not first go by the way of God. I was listening to a debate the other day online. It was an old debate. I have no idea how I found it. And it was between Al Gore and Rush Limbaugh. I have no idea how I found that debate. I have no idea why I listened to that debate. But in the drive-through of the Biscuitville this morning, I listened to that debate. And Al Gore said something. He said, the reason we've got to take care of global warming and all this is because the world is very fragile. And the world is on a teetering line between this and that. And beloved, I got to thinking about that. That is exactly what evolution does. Evolution takes God out of the equation. And now man is in charge. Can I tell you something? The world and this globe and your life, it's not nearly as fragile as we like to think it is. And especially if you're a child of God, everything I go through, if I'm walking right, living right, trying to honor God, it went by the throne of God, the hand of God, the mind of God, the eye of God, the sight of God, and nothing came my way that did not first go by God. Now here's what I'm saying, that God will let you, think about that, will let you come under a satanic assault to bring you low. What in the world? Now there's a second one. Notice what it says in verse 39. They're brought low through affliction. Affliction is the kind of depression that comes from physical or mental sickness. How many of you have ever seen somebody and they had a chemical imbalance in their brain? Those are real things. Those are actual things. I said it this morning. Our bodies, our minds, our thoughts, our ways, because of sin, they're in a limbo day by day because we are not doing and living and breathing how God intended Adam and Eve to live and breathe. Beloved, here's what you got to understand. There are some people that have what we call clinical depression, and they have a real depression, and it has to be treated. It's got to be dealt with. You can't just shake it off. You can't just get out of it. I know there's some happy, happy, wealthy, wealthy, wealthy preachers that say, just get over it, think positive, everything will be okay. But that's not the way it works. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes the chemicals in your mind, but here's what you've got to understand. Maybe if you're here tonight and you deal with that and you say, God, what have I done wrong to earn this? David said, God, let that happen to you. Process that. There's a third one. Watch what it says. They're brought low through sorrow. The third kind of depression comes from trauma, death, and separation. If you have ever been through any one of these three or more than two of them, you will find that one of those three, they're all different from the other one. They all feel different. They all have a different way about them. And some of you, you have dealt with the death of a loved one. You've dealt with the death of a family member, the death or the separation of a divorce or a trauma at a job or something like that. And it sent you down into this spiral and you say, God, what have I done? Here's what you got to understand. God let you on purpose go through that. What kind of God would do that? I thought God was interested in making my life good. I thought God was interested in making me happy. God is not concerned with making your life good. He's interested in making your life godly. He's not interested in making you happy. He's interested in making you holy. And here's what you're going to find. The other night we were in here praying, and I know you're wondering, how in the world did I get on this? How did I deal with this? I don't know how other preachers get messages. I have no idea how regular guys do it. I just know how God brings them to me. We were in here praying on a Saturday night. It was about 5 or 6 or 7 of us, and Brother Darren was talking to me, and I said, all right, does anybody have anything they want us to pray about that we can agree together? Do you remember this conversation? I said, we need to, whatever we need. And somebody said one thing, somebody said another thing. I mentioned something. Brother Darren said this. He said, I really think we need to pray for our teenagers. I said, all right, tell me about it. He said, I really think that many of our teenagers are dealing with depression. He said, I think that they're struggling with certain things and they're in this blackness and they're in this darkness. And the more I got to thinking about that, I would walk, and the more I thought about it, I thought, what in the world? How can you tell me that a kid that has everything going for them, has got everything taken care of, has got all, how can you tell me that they are in darkness? And the Holy Spirit said, all right, Jack, look at your life. You got everything going for you. You got everything pumping your way. Do you not get in those dark places? Do you not get in those dark clouds? Do those places not come over you? And I got to thinking, so I started looking at this passage and I started thinking about how we can get victory over this. But here's what you've got to understand. If God sent it to you, you'll never get victory over it. You've got to get victory in it. You can't get victory beyond it. You've got to learn how to have victory while you're in it. And here's what I'm telling every child of God. The depression that you're dealing with, whether it is from a sickness, whether it is from a sorrow, whether it is from a satanic attack, here's what you got to understand. You're not in that thing by accident. You're not in that thing by happenstance. And there is a cure. I'll give you the three cures for each one of them. Number one, what is the cure for depression that comes on by sorrow and trauma? Here it is. You ready? The only medicine is time. The only medicine is time. When you deal with divorce and trauma and death, the only thing that helps that at all is time. I wish I could tell you there was a pill to take. There ain't a pill to take. I wish I could tell you there was something you could drink. There ain't nothing you can drink. In fact, you'll find the more pills you take and the more you drink, when you ain't drinking that and taking them pills, you'll hurt even more when you're off them pills and drinking that drink. You know why? The only cure is time. The cure for affliction, mental sickness, mental depression, the medicine for that is a doctor. The medicine for that is a Christian doctor. Now don't go out here and just find a jackleg that'll give you a bottle of pills. Go out and find a Christian that knows what it means for somebody to deal in that. You say, I don't know how to get a Christian doctor. Have we ever thought about praying before we make a decision and say, God, would you please take me to the right person, help me to get in with the right doctor, and help me to find the right person? Don't you ever make the devil, let the devil make you feel like you are lesser of a person because you've got to have pills to cope with something. You say you don't need pills. What do you do, honey, when you get a headache? Do you just run around and say, Jesus will heal me? Or do you try to find you a bottle of the ibuprofen? I'll tell you what you do. If you're a man, you whine and moan and beg your wife to go get you a glass of milk and some ibuprofen. And if you've got a bellyache, you know what you do? You don't find you a whole thing of toilet paper. You say, somebody bring me some stomach medicine. So why is it with our mind? When did we get too good to let a Christian doctor help us with that? It's amazing to me the way we operate. Now, don't you go out here and say, Dr. Tyler told me to take a handful of pills. That ain't what I told you to do. Here's what I did tell you. If it's some depression that's brought on by affliction, you'll never be able to pray your way out of it. Because that's not the kind of depression God's let you go through. Here's the cure for oppression that's or depression that's brought on by oppression. Are you ready? Faithfulness. The only thing that's going to help you get through that oppressive satanic attack is to keep walking. The only thing you can do, you can't take a pill and make it go away. You can't take a drink and make it go away. Time won't do it. You know what you got to do? You got to get up every day and keep walking. You got to get up every day and keep going. Even when you don't feel like it, even when you feel like your prayers aren't getting through, you keep praying. When you feel like nobody's listening, you keep walking. When you feel like nobody cares, you keep going. And the one medicine for oppressive depression is faithfulness. It's the only thing that'll help you. Now, here's the question, and this is what I'm asking tonight. This is where my mind's at, fellas. Why would God let us go through this? I bet if I ask people in this building right now, let alone the internet, let alone the TV, I'm talking about you people that are in here right now. If I said, how many of you in the last 6 months have gone through some type of depression? I would be willing to venture that 95 to 100% of you would raise your hand. That there was some place, some time, some way, and some hour of some day at some place you've been in the last 6 months, there has been a darkness that had come over you and you didn't want to get out of bed, you didn't want to go to work, you didn't want to talk to a spouse, you didn't want to deal with your family, you didn't want to go anywhere, and you looked and you prayed and you said, God, how do I get out of this? God, give me victory in this. And let me just ask a question. The more you prayed, the darker it God. Anybody? You know why? Because it's God-given depression. What then is the purpose of God-given depression? There's three purposes right here in this scripture. Number one, there is a reason. Here's what you need to understand, beloved. Your God's not a God of accidents, and He doesn't have Oprah moments. You know what that means? He doesn't have aha moments. He doesn't have the moments where He says, that was a good idea. I'm glad I did that. Boy, I didn't see that one coming. No, everything our God does, He does it for a reason and for a purpose and in a time and by a process. Therefore, everything God puts you through, God puts you in and God puts you around, it is for a reason. Here's the first thing that God seeks to accomplish with you in that depression that He sent. Number one, the depression is sent to polish you. That depression is sent to shine you. That depression is sent to sharpen you. You say, where do you get that? Well, look back, if you will, at Psalm chapter 107 and verse number 39. Watch what it says. Again, they are minished. That word minished, it is the Hebrew word me'at. And the word me'at, it literally means to take an axe to a whetstone and grind it down. It means to polish a stone. It means to sharpen. Now, beloved, can I just ask you a question? Why do you have to sharpen a stone? Any rednecks want to take a gander? Why do you sharpen a stone or sharpen an axe? No, because it's dull. You don't sharpen something that's already sharp. You sharpen something that's what? Ain't no rednecks in this house. I can tell y'all are going to Lowe's. Real rednecks get granite and do it themselves. You only sharpen that which is dull. Now think about it. In order to make it sharp, you've got to cut away certain things. You've got to cut away certain aspects of what doesn't belong there in order to make it into the image of what you want it to be. Now, beloved, I wish I could tell you that everything God does for me, He does it in the happy-go-lucky times of life. I wish I could tell you all the good lessons I've learned. I've learned them when the bank account was up. I've learned them when the things were great. I learned them when the kids were healthy. I wish I could tell you that God did His best teaching on the mountaintop. I'm telling you right now, God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's ways. It's in the deep, dark valley God teaches us His greatest lessons. It's when the lights are out, God teaches us the greatest lessons. It's when nobody cares, God teaches us the greatest lessons. And here is what God is doing to you with that depression. I don't know how He does it. I don't understand why He does it, but there is a process. There is something in your life that God is grinding away. There is something in your life that God is sharpening away. And here is what you'll find. If you'll stay on that whetstone long enough, if you'll stay on that place long enough, and you'll keep walking by faith and keep believing God by faith, you'll come out, and the next thing you know, you'll be in the hand of the Maker, and you'll hear the Holy Ghost say, "Timber," because the sharpness of your life has dropped a tree somewhere in the devil's forest. But he only allows it to happen through the darkness of depression. Can I ask you a question? How many of you, be honest, tell me the truth. Ain't no need to lie. This is a Tyler survey. How many of you have had good times in life and bad times in life? All right? Where'd you learn the best lessons? It's in the hard times. It's in the dark times. It's in the low times. It's in the bleak times. It's when the times that you didn't feel like anybody cared, when that one person came along, you realize who really did care. It was when you didn't have any money and something came along, you realize there really is hope. Beloved, here's what I'm telling you. What God is doing in your life, the devil is a liar. Everything about the devil is a liar. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. He's telling you God's mad at you. That's why it's black. That's why it's bleak. That's why there's nobody around. And what God is trying to show you is, I'm not mad at you. And the reason it is black and the reason it is bleak is because I've got my hand on you, and I'm doing something with you, and I'm working through you, and I'm accomplishing something. And it's only through the depression that God polishes the most sturdy axes. Here's the question. How many of you, when you pray in your dark time, you pray something like this? Lord, give me light. God, deliver me. God, help. God, pull me out. And he doesn't do it, does he? The new prayer you need to pray in the God-given depression is, Lord, make me sharp where I am dull. Make me useful where I am useless. Make me powerful where I am weak. Because God's purpose in that depression is to sharpen. Number two, you see, there's another thing that God-given depression does. It testifies. What God-given depression does in chapter number 107 in verse number 42 is it testifies. Now, I may get happy on this one, so if you've got a problem with Pentecostals, you may have a problem with me in just a second, because I'm going to get happy here in about 35 seconds. I want you to notice what it says there in verse number 42. Watch what it says. The righteous shall see it and what? Rejoice. Something that the righteous are going to see is going to make them so happy that they're not going to be able to contain it on the inside, and it's going to come out to the outside. What is that it that they see, that when they see it, it gives them so much strength that it causes them to rejoice? But notice what else it says. It says, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Can I tell you what verse number 42 at the end of it means in redneck North Carolina English? There's something that'll happen that'll cause sinners to shut up. That's what that means. It'll cause all iniquity to silence and stop her mouth. You see, there's something that'll happen when we go through those deep, dark times. It'll tell a story. What is the story? Well, you see, here's what humanism says. Humanism says that only the strong survive. Only the strongest link make it through. Only that which has the most muscle will make it through. But there's something that happens when a person gets weak and they get pushed down. You see, the world says they ought to stay down. The world says the lower you go, the less you'll get up. The lower you go, the harder you got to be pushed down. But here's what happens. When that which is pushed down gets back up, it signals something has turned the tide. That which was down has now gotten up. That which had been pushed down is now getting up. Now let's just use common deduction here in the house of God on a Sunday night. If that which had not enough strength to keep itself up is is pushed down, and that which did not have enough strength to keep itself up all of a sudden starts getting up. What would common logic tell you? All of a sudden it got strength, or all of a sudden something or somebody started helping it get up. Something or somebody got down in the muck and the mire where it was at and got down there where she was and began the process of picking them up. Here's what I'm telling you, child of God, that when you get down and you get discouraged and you get depressed and the devil says you're done and the devil says it's over and the devil says you're through, my God in heaven, I feel like preaching, and you say you have no hope, all of a sudden when you show up to the house of God and you lift your hands up in praise and you keep on walking and you keep on praying and you keep on believing, you know what sinners do? You know what the demons do? They say, you got to be kidding me. I thought we put them down. I thought we beat them down. I thought we discouraged them. I thought we depressed them. What happened? And all of a sudden your life tells a story. Somebody got up underneath you, and that which was weak is now strong. That which was down is now up. That which was out is now in. You know what it does? It testifies that our God is the one that's in charge. Our God is the one that rules. Our God is the one that keeps it going. Our God is the one. Every time you are down and get back up, you tell the story that you've got somebody that helps you get up. Now, beloved, watch this. If a strong person stands up, what do you say? What a strong person. If a weak person stands up, what do you say? How'd that happen? And then you get to tell the story. Now, watch this. What if God weakened you so that those around you could see His strength? What if God broke you so that the people around you, when you are still standing, somebody would look and say, how'd you do that? How'd you make it in that marriage when they said there was no hope? How did you make it with those kids when the people said there was no way around it? How did you not take it and end it all when they said you had no ability? How did you do that? Tell me the story, because I'm at my wit's end, and it allows you to lift up your hands and to say, let me tell you a story about grace and glory. Let me tell you a story about peace and power. Let me tell you a story about the good hand of God. Now watch this. It says the righteous rejoice. Can I go ahead and give you the Tyler version of that? Here's what that means. I know what many of you go through. I know what many of you get into. I know what many of you deal with, and I know I am not a mean preacher. I am not a preacher that beats you down. I don't browbeat you, break your back, and all the. I had a preacher tell me a couple of months ago. He said, all you do is encourage people. And I said, well, thank you for the compliment, brother. He said, you don't ever step on anybody's toes. And you know, I got to thinking about that, and I did come up with a little line. You know, I don't feel the need to step on people's toes when the devil's got his foot on so many people's necks. I'll tell you what I do. I'll tell you what I feel when the people of God walk in the house and I know they've had a bad time. I know their marriage is falling apart. I know their kids are giving them hell on earth. I know their minds are upset. I know their thoughts are out. When they come into the house of God, you know what I do? I lift my hands and I say, He's still God. He's still real. He's still sustaining His people. He's still keeping us on the throne. He's still God. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now watch this. There's a third thing that you'll learn down in the oppression. You'll learn that depression is an instructor. It's a teacher. Instruction is only learned when all else is quiet. How many of you were like me for most of your life? I went to a public school for my first however many years of my life. You know the problem with public schools? Well, Christian schools and all other schools for that matter. There's always some jackleg in the class that won't shut up. And if you didn't have anybody like that, you were it. You know the greatest problem that public school teachers have is keeping order in the class? It's not the fact they can't teach. It's they can't teach because people act like a bunch of crazies. You know when people are acting up and going crazy, talking, it makes learning impossible. makes learning impossible. But if you never get everybody real quiet and real still, you can really teach them something. You see why God will take you into the deep, dark hole of depression is because you got too many voices all around you. Too many things jockeying for your attention. And God will turn the lights out just so you'll listen. What? Listen for what? Watch what it says. Verse 43. Whoso is wise will observe these things. What does that mean? It means if you are really wise in the Spirit, you'll pay attention to what you're going through and not whine and cry that God hates you. You'll be wise and try to figure out what's happening. Watch what he says. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. There is something that God will teach you only in one's classroom. It's in the classroom of depression. Are you ready what it is? I want you to look in the book of Psalm chapter 119, verse number 75. There's one thing that you will learn in the valley and the classroom of depression. Psalm 119, verse number 75. Watch what it says. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in thy faithfulness hast afflicted me. Do you see what that says? That thou in faithfulness have afflicted me. Can I tell you the only lesson, the only place you'll ever really learn this? In the classroom of tribulation, you will learn the faithfulness of God. Think about Brother Joseph down. God said, you're going to be king. You're going to rule. You're going to be the one that they bow down to. Where did he immediately go after that? Into a pit. Where did he go after that? Into a prison. But when he got up to the throne in Egypt, what did he learn right there? The God that kept me in the pit and the God that kept me in the prison is the same God that kept his word. Here's what you'll find. When you get down into those places of depression and discouragement and fear and anxiety and you can't go on, and you can't make it, and you can't keep walking, and you can't keep talking, and you can't keep the ship running, and you can't do it all, and you can't figure it all out, but yet it keeps going, and yet it doesn't stop, and yet everything keeps running, and everything is okay, and you didn't have anything to do with it. You know what you say? Somebody else helped me. And when you learn that you didn't do it, but it still got done, you'll raise your hands to the heavens and say, great is thy faithfulness. You single mothers that never had enough money to pay your bills, and God paid them every time. What did you learn in the valley? God is what? Faithful. You parents that weren't able to have children, when you finally held that baby, what'd you find? God is what? Faithful. You families that lost with divorce and you didn't know how you were going to make it and now everything's put back together, what did you learn? God is what? Faithful. When you buried that loved one, lowering that box into the ground, walking away, and in there was your heart and your life and everything, and now here you are, and yes, it still hurts, and yes, there's pain, but you've come to the place where you know I'm going to be okay. What do you learn? God is. Where did you learn that? You learn that through God-given depression. My question to you is this. In the place that you are in, if I could just be as practical as possible, instead of praying, God, deliver me in this, from this, what if you change your prayers and say, God, teach me in this. Let me learn through this. Beloved, I wish God could just hand us the Holy Ghost lollipop and we'd learn everything just like that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful if God could just plug you in somewhere and you'd learn all the lessons of faith and hope and life and grace and peace? You know, the problem with that is if you could do that and you could learn all about God that way, you wouldn't have a God. You'd have an idol. But the fact that you have a God you can't figure out, and you have a God that you don't understand His ways, and you have a God that doesn't make sense, you know what you realize you have? You have a God that is bigger than you. That's what a real God is.